So I was sitting last night and I was watching the charts and I was so tempted to start buying because the price of Bitcoin started to go up. And then I reminded myself, I said, I've got 3 years of or 3 cycles of battle scars. And I know that these type of real corrections, and when I say real correction, I mean the ones that aren't flash outs. I mean the corrections that actually look like this, where the price goes down, 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 and then goes up to try and get you back in. And then it goes down again and flashes you down. And then it goes up again to try and suck you in. And then it goes down again to flash you out. I know that when these corrections happen, the worst thing that you can do is actually start buying too early. Now, when I went onto Twitter, I saw that a lot of people actually started buying lots of tokens already. You could see that some respectable people actually said that they're starting to buy, they're starting to ape into their favorite tokens. I'm still not buying. I'm of the mindset that it's not time to buy it. And when I do buy though, I've got an amazing, amazing, amazing list that I am going to start buying. And I'm only going to buy those tokens and no other tokens. So that's what I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show you why I'm not buying yet. I'm going to show you when I'm going to start buying. And then I'm going to show you exactly the tokens that I'm going to be buying. Simple as that. Let's go. I know a lot of you are very, very, very similar to me. I know you were sitting last night, you're watching the price of Bitcoin, you were looking at this chart over here, and I think probably the best way to look at this chart is actually to go onto like the hourly or something, right? You were looking at this chart last night, and you saw this this little pump up, I think this is last night, it went up to 65, you said, I'm gonna miss this run. You went and you aped in over here, and then you dumped, and this morning we dumped to 60,000, and then you kicked yourself. That's exactly what I was doing last night. I was sitting on the sofa. I've got a list of tokens that I wanted to buy. And I said, you know what? I'm actually going to start deploying. I'm going to start deploying right now. And then I reminded myself. I said, no, you've been here for 3 cycles. You know better. You know that the people that win in this cycle are the people that have patience and a strategy. People that have a thesis and know exactly when they're going to start buying and know exactly what they're going to start buying. And so I didn't buy. And I'm glad that I didn't buy because the token that I was going to buy went down 25% between last night and this morning. And I may actually even buy it live on the show today. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because you need to have a strategy and I need to give you the list of tokens that we're going to buy and exactly why we're going to buy them. So it's going to be a massive, massive, massive show. As I say, I'm not buying just yet, but maybe by the end of the show, we will be buying. So listen, if you're new to the channel, welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know where you've been this entire bull market. I'm glad you joined us here because if you would have wasted any further time, you would have pretty much missed the entire bull run. For those of you who have caught the bull run with us, for those of you who have caught some of these amazing, amazing trades, the Injective Protocol trade, the Solana trade, the Casper trade, welcome back. Smash the like button, give us some love. We've got a lot to do today. Remember, when you do subscribe to this channel, you're automatically entered into the banter bags, and the banter bags are going to make millionaires. We do have a new bag in the banter bags, which I'll reveal today or tomorrow, which I think is also going to do like 50x or 100x or whatever else. So lots to do today. Be honest with me. In the chat, I want you guys to tell me how many of you got roped into actually buying tokens yesterday. Be honest though, like I know we all make mistakes. I know we all get drawn into that kind of scenario. And as I said to you, I was also sitting on the sofa last night going, you know, should I actually be buying this stuff? Should I actually be buying? I saw the price of Bitcoin going up. I said, you know what, it's gonna go up, it's gonna fool me. I'm gonna get destroyed. I'm not gonna buy the token that I want. But then I sat back and I said, don't do it. Just don't do it. Just for once in your life, stick to your thesis. And I stuck to my thesis. And I woke up this morning and I went to the toilet first thing in the morning. I went to pee and I looked at my phone. I was like half blind from the night. And I looked at that token. That token was 25% lower this morning. And I said to myself, you know what? This time you're sticking to your thesis. I'm going to spell out that thesis for you guys today. The first part of that thesis is that this is actually turning out to be one of the first real corrections. Oh, we see Dennis bought. Now, if you bought, tell me if the token actually went down. Tell me if the token actually went down between last night and this morning. So what is my thesis? My thesis is that this is playing out to be a real correction. What is a real correction? A real correction is different from a flash out. A flash out is when you go down, and as soon as you go down, people start buying, the leverage gets flashed out, And then people start buying the tokens and we go back to the levels that we were before, and it happens really, really quickly. The difference between a flash out and what we're seeing now, which I think feels like a real correction, is when you look at the way that the market is correcting. It's going down. In this case, it went all the way down to 60 from 73,000. It went all the way down to 65,000. Then it wanted us to believe that the correction was over, and it sent it all the way back up to 70,000. And then we thought, okay, we're back in bull territory. And then we went all the way back down to 64,000. And then we went all the way back up to 68,000. And we went all the way back to 63,000. And then up to 65,000. And then this morning we flushed. And a lot of people said at the bottom when we got here that this was the bottom, that this 60,000 was the bottom. I'm concerned right now that this is not the bottom. And that if you follow this trend line over here, if you follow what's going on here, we're basically actually going down this trend line. And this is panning out to be a real correction. So I'm going to show you when this real correction is going to end in a second. Now, I think that a lot of people were in the same boat as I was last night. A lot of you were like, should I be buying? I see a lot of you in the chat saying, oh, we should have bought. Or we did buy. The reality is that a lot of people are talking about this correction. They're saying, well, what actually caused this correction? And, you know, you can make a million and one theories as to what caused the correction. And every single one of those theories is actually right. Yes, there was too much leverage. Let's have a look at the leverage chart over here. There was too much leverage. The leverage went orange, as you can see. Now the leverage is green. The leverage is flushed out. So one theory is that this whole correction was actually caused by too much leverage. The next theory is that ETH is driving the market south because there's no more ETF. And I think the market is slowly starting to realize what I said to you guys over a week ago, where I said to you guys, or over a month ago, where I said, I don't think this ETF is going to be approved in May. I think there is going to be an ETH ETF at some point, but I just don't think it's going to be now, and I don't think it's going to be in May. And I think the market's slowly starting to realize that that's the case. Next thing that is driving this market down, if you're looking for reasons for this market to be down, the next thing that could be driving this market down is the bad ETF inflows. And the last couple of days have actually been quite brutal if you are watching the ETF horse race. So if you look at the ETF horse race, yesterday we had $326 million in outflows. The big reason for this these outflows was Grayscale. So Grayscale not helping us in any way. They had 642 million on one day and 443 million on the next day. That's $1 billion in outflows in the last couple, in 2 days. And that has led to a negative 600 million inflows on the ETFs. Now, what does this mean? Does it mean that like the ETF hype is finished? Does it mean that the ETF narrative is finished? No. But I do think that we're going to have some good days and some bad days. And whilst price is going down, unfortunately, I don't think that the ETF providers are going to be selling a lot of the ETFs. So I think when price is going up, everyone gets FOMO and everyone wants to jump in. But unfortunately, as price starts going down, people lose the FOMO and say, you know what, maybe we'll wait for a correction, we'll wait for some kind of dip. So again, if you're looking for reasons why this market is actually going down, you got that. You got the Solana shitcoin mania. You've got the Solana, we call it shitcoin mania. It's the meme coin mania that we've all actually been participating in, or most of the degens have actually been participating in. That could be another reason why the market's going down. Look, the reality is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's good days or bad days in the ETF. The reality is this market needed a correction. And every time in this period, 1 month before the halving, we get a correction. That's just what happens. That's just how these bull markets actually land up working. That's just how these things work. And when these corrections usually happen, they usually go down about 30%. As Miles says, this dip is much needed. You can't have a bull market that just goes up all the way, because then the bull market gets to what's called a blow-off top. When we get to a blow-off top, that's pretty much the end of the bull market. Retail get wrecked. They don't come back ever again because they got so badly wrecked. And that's when you go into a long-term bear market. In a bull market, you want to have these regular flashes, and we're getting these regular flashes. And now the data actually looks a bit better. The leverage is slightly unwound. The funding rates are normalized. The sentiment has come down, but not enough. So it wasn't much needed reset. And the truth is, we got our reset, or we're getting our reset. That's pretty much where we're at. And as I said, a lot of people are saying that it's time to start buying again. Some big...
Ooh.
Josh, some big accounts, some big friends of ours. Why are you laughing? It was Josh. It was Josh. Okay, it was me. It was me. I take responsibility. It was me. It was me. It was me. It's just me. It's just me. So, a lot of big accounts, friends of ours, people that we respect, have actually said they are buying. They are ready to buy, and this is the time to start buying. Dennis from Virtual Bacon says, I'm heavily buying everything. Wish me luck. He's all in. He's all in. Rest in peace, bro. Then you got Miles, who's saying, I'm starting to bid again slowly, but averaging into some positions across AI, layer ones, memes. Could we go lower? Yes, but you're never going to time the bottom. You know, they say in the old stock market adage, they say, if you try and pick a bottom, you know what happens? Dan, do you know what happens if you try and pick a bottom?
It's not PG.
What do you get? You get shit on your hands. You get shit on your fingers. So don't try and pick your bottom. Then you've got KSI. Perfect entries, bro. KSI investor professional says it's perfect entries. He also thinks that was the bottom. KSI is my man. Then you got Cold Blooded Chiller says, good morning. Started buying spot. Fuck bears. Okay, that's what he said. Kyle Chassis says, feels like it might be time to slowly start bidding again. People are actually starting to buy. And then someone says, his name is Christian Chifoy. He says, I wish I bought more. Season is coming. Season is coming soon. They think that the dip is over, and they may be right. Who knows? They may be right. We'll talk about that. What if I'm wrong here? What if my thesis is wrong? We'll talk about that in a second. But I said, good morning, everyone. And this is, I said, in our Front Runners Discord group. And unfortunately, as I mentioned, you can't join the Discord group yet. But on the 1st of April, we are going to let in another intake of people to Front Runners. If you want to get in, this is where we drop the alpha before the shows. This is where everything happens. There is a link over here. You're not going to get in immediately. You're going to get in on the 1st of April. If you're on the waiting list and we're only letting in very limited people, here is the link. And I'll show you in a second why I think it's a good idea that you guys actually go there. So I said in Front Runners today, I've been urging patience this correction. As hard as it is, I don't believe that we're anywhere near buying levels. I'm looking at three levels. I'm looking at 58,500, 52,000, and 47,500. I don't think we're getting anywhere near the low levels, but I will show you in a second where I got those levels from. So where are we right now? Where are we right now? Why am I not yet starting to buy? So I agree with you. We said that there was too much froth and there was too much leverage, and we said the funding rates were too high, and the funding rates have come down. Look, guys, everything's green. It's perfect. Funding rate on Bitcoin, 15% per annum. Funding rate on ETH, 8% per annum. Nobody wants ETH, not even BlackRock. Solana funding rates, almost 30%. Doge funding rates, 23%. Look, these are okay funding rates. I also said I wanted the leverage to come down. Here's a chart of what the altcoin leverage looks like. Now, what you can see is that we are not only much higher than we were in 2021 at the peak, but leverage is still very, very, very high. So yeah, we came down from 24 billion in leverage. Now, bear in mind, the 2021 peak was 13 billion, and we've come down to 15 billion or 16 billion. That's not enough for me. That's not enough of a flash for me. People are still aping into Solana meme coins. You know what I did yesterday? I actually want to show you this. I wanted to test the froth in the market. So what did I do? I went to my Twitter, and on my Twitter, I said, you won't believe this. This will blow your minds, okay? So I went to my Twitter and I said, hey guys, calling all memecoin degens, Sol memecoin degens, send Sol to this address and get nothing in return, okay? How much money do you think went into this wallet? Let me just open the wallet so that you guys, I just want to make sure that you don't see private keys and I don't know, passwords and a whole lot of other stuff. You never know. People are watching. Okay, so how much money do you think actually went into this wallet? I did it just to test the froth. So put a number in the chat. Put a number in the chat. Tell me how much money you think the wallet raised without going to check the wallet. I know you guys are geniuses and you all know how to use SolScan. Guys, $4,610 was sent to me by retards, including a coin called iRetarded. Sorry, I actually think it's quite a cool thing. So I think we need to decide on the show today what I do with this money, because I don't need the money. We can do a poll. So we can say, number one, we just give the money back to whoever sent it. Just send it back. Number two, we take this money and we go and change people's lives. We give it to, like, I don't know, kids with cancer, and we go and make their dreams come true. We go and find like really cool people and we try and just change their lives, because that's what banter does, change their lives. Let me know in the chat what you guys want to do. We can send it back. We can change people's lives. Or I got another one. We just select one random person that sent us soul yesterday, and we just send him the whole thing, like a lottery, basically. So let me know A, B, or C in the chat. Let me know A, B, or C. Josh, let's do a poll, A, B, or C in the chat. Whatever you guys say, that's what we're going to land up doing. So what I wanted to show you with this is that I still think that there is a lot of hype in the market, and that the hype hasn't yet been washed out. I mean, we're still trading against these slurf geniuses, right? Remember the slurf founder who burnt the LP tokens because he was so smart? It was a genius developer. Also, he apparently has a very high testosterone. I mean, I listened to him on the spaces. Like, if these are the people we're trading against, let's actually see how our trade against these people is actually playing out. So we've taken 6,000 profit, and we're still in 9,743 on this short position. Should I close the short? No, you think it's still going lower? James, should I close the short?
Yeah.
Should I close the short? Hardus is our new tech guy. He doesn't even know what a short is. Josh, should I close the short?
Sure.
Okay, in the chat, let me know if I must close the short or leave the short open. I'll do what you guys say, as usual. I always do what you guys say. So there's still froth in the market. Not enough for me to say that this correction is over. And that's really what I want to talk to you about, how I am gauging whether or not this correction is over. So you got to think about, let's understand what corrections in the bull market actually are, because we do get a lot of corrections in the bull market. And we need to understand, like, what is the correction in a bull market? What is the purpose of a correction in a bull market? Why is it that bull markets don't just go parabolically straight up? I mean, after all, it's a bull market. So why doesn't it just go parabolically straight up? Why do we need to have corrections in a bull market? So the reason why we have corrections in a bull market is because corrections are designed to flush out bad behavior in the cycle. That's what a correction is. You take too much leverage, which is a bad behavior. The correction is designed to flush you out. You trade too many meme coins in a bull market. The correction is designed to flush you out. You trade NFTs, you buy crazy NFTs for crazy numbers. The correction is designed to flush out bad behavior. Corrections happen when we get into excessive behavior, and the market wants you to flush out the excessive behavior, and it wants to bring you back to equilibrium. So generally, when we have a correction, we're looking for a flush out. We're looking for a flush out of the behavior that caused the market to oscillate above and into overbought territory. Because remember, markets go between overbought and oversold, and overbought and oversold, and overbought and oversold. When you get too overbought, you want to go down to oversold. So how do you do this? How do you do this? The market causes a correction. Now, let's look at corrections, and specifically what corrections are supposed to do. Corrections are supposed to make you scared. Corrections are supposed to make you so scared that you change your behavior. So if you get a reduction in price, but the reduction in price doesn't scare anyone away, and we still carry on doing exactly the same behavior the next day, then the correction hasn't done its job. So let's look at like fear and greed, right? Like, that's a good measure of exuberance in the market. Fear and greed is 74. Is 74 enough to change your behavior, Dan? Is 74 enough to get you to stop playing with your phone while I'm on the stream? The guy comes to the studio, he sits here, which I mean, I don't mind him sitting here, but the first time he scratches his nuts. The second time he's sitting here surfing. What are you surfing? Facebook, or what are you surfing? He's looking at he's trading. You're trading while I'm live on the stream. Are you front running these people?
Front running
anybody. Okay, good. So let's look at this. Are you scared? 74.
No.
James, are you scared?
No.
In the chat, are you guys scared? No one's scared. No one's scared. That's the problem. So I went and analyzed corrections, and I think that this is where I found a golden nugget that is amazing. It's a very, very, very cool golden nugget. I went and looked at all the previous corrections. Here they are. This is the 2021 cycle corrections. And what I went and did was looked at the fear and greed index to see how much of the greed the corrections managed to flush out. Now, you can see that in every single one of the corrections, the fear and greed went down a lot. So look here. Fear and greed went from 77 to 39. That's like a 38-point flush out. Here it went a 43-point flush out. And this was 15 and 20% corrections. this 12% correction over here, small mini correction, flushed out the fear and greed by 24 points. This 31% correction flushed out the fear and greed by 40 points. This 27% correction flushed out the fear and greed by almost 40 points, by 37 points. And this one flushed out from 56 to 9 by 45 points. So you can see that the way that corrections are designed is to really change the sentiment. You want to change the sentiment from extreme greed, which is a bad behavior, to moderate or to some kind of fear. That is what a correction is. And then I tested back this theory in 2023-24. And I said, you got the first correction that went down from 96 to 24. And that was 22% correction. Why did this go down so much? Because we all had PTSD. And we thought, oh shit, the bear market's coming back. And that's why this fear and greed went down so much. Then again here, in this correction over here that we had, from a 21% correction, took us down from 91 to 38. Okay, now let's look at fear and greed. I mean, the highs were here. The highs were here at 80, in the 80s. And we have corrected a whole whopping 6 points, 7 points. I don't know about you, but that to me doesn't look like or feel like any of the previous massive corrections. Now, why is this happening? Why are we not getting shaken out? I'll tell you why we're not getting shaken out. Because in the last correction over here, the market recovered very, very, very quickly. And the reason why the market recovered very quickly is because we had the ETF helping us get up. So what happened was it trained people not to be scared of corrections. Because the mindset is, if you're scared of corrections, don't worry. The BlackRock will save us. Now we're having a correction. Where's BlackRock? Let me phone Larry. Hello? Should I phone Larry? Is this a good time to phone Larry? I mean, if I phone Larry now and I said, where are you? He's not gonna say, look, I'm waiting to buy the dip. I'm waiting to save the crypto bros. That's what's going on at the moment. So the reason why this correction is not yet done is because if I look at corrections, if I look at the nature of corrections is to flush out excessive sentiment in the market. Every single one of the previous corrections has flushed out excessive sentiment in the market. This correction has not flushed out any excessive sentiment in the market, which means to me that this correction is not finished or that this is not actually even a correction. If it's a correction, it must flush out the bad behavior in the market, and we must stop doing the bad things that we used to do before, or we must slow down doing the bad things that we used to do before, and then begin a new cycle with new tokens and new investments. Flush out excessive old behavior and usher in a new era, a new part of the bull market with new narratives, new tokens, new everything. You agree with me though that no one's scared. We've got 10,000 people here watching the stream live. How many of you are actually scared? How many of you are really scared? Be honest, like how many of you are fearful? No one in this office is fearful, I tell you. They're all DJing into meme coins, all buying the dip. I don't know, like taking 10x long positions. No one is fearful here. And you can see it in the sentiment. This is not a real correction. This correction hasn't managed to flush out the sentiment. And in fact, you want to know when this correction is going to be over? I'll tell you what to do. Don't even look at the price of Bitcoin. Close your eyes and just look at one chart. The one chart that you're going to be looking at is you're going to be looking at the fear and greed chart. When the fear and greed chart drops by 40 points, you open your eyes again, you say, I'm buying. I don't care what the price is, I'm buying. Wouldn't that be a much more responsible approach than being dragged in every time that the chart goes up and down? Set yourself a parameter and say, you know what, I'm not buying until fear and greed hits 50. That's my first buy zone. My second buy zone, fear and greed hits 40. Because what you know is you know that in a cycle, you're going to get multiple corrections of the fear and greed. Like, let's look at the 2021 cycle. Look how 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, every time the fear and greed goes up and down and up and down and up and down. This cycle, fear and greed's up. No, that's it. We are unscarable. We're unscarable. So we did have some geniuses here at the office that said, well, you know, maybe the people that are here in crypto aren't retail. It's only people that have been here for a long time, and you just can't scare crypto people anymore. We're so immune to being scared that unless Binance collapses or Coinbase collapses, or I don't know, that's the only thing that could scare us. I don't believe that. I believe that a flush out is a flush out is a flush out. And a flush out and a correction is designed to flush out bad behaviors and to usher in a new part of the bull market. And I believe that this cycle will be no different. So you're asking me, when am I going to start buying? I'm not looking at the prices, guys. I'm just looking at the sentiment. And when I believe that people have become scared and started to sell, then I will start buying. So what is my entry point? I want the fear and greed to go down similar to previous cycles by a minimum of 40 points. Okay, let's be a little bit more realistic. I'll start buying when fear goes down 30 points. I'll start buying when fear and greed hits 50. I'm not going to look at the price of Bitcoin. I'm not going to look at the price of my coins. I'm going to start buying when fear and greed hits 50. What do you think? Does that make more sense than buying into a chart that goes up and down? And even for people who've done this a million times like I have, I sat there yesterday thinking, just buy it. Come on, just buy it. This market's going to run away from you. And I woke up this morning and bang, that's what I saw. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one chart, the fear and greed chart. When we think that the market is fearful and the market is changing their behavior, right? That is when we're going to actually start buying. That is when we're actually going to start buying. Not driven by price. What do you think? Let me know. Now look, I'm not a genius. I mean, I am a genius, but I don't always get it right. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm going to have the courage to deal with, you know, to be able to change my tune very quickly. Because I know that, you know, I'm a market investor. I'm not a fortune teller. And I also know that markets can change in 1 second overnight, for the good and for the bad. Right now, my thesis is that the market is heated and needs a correction. But things could change. Something could happen tonight, as soon as tonight. Something could happen. And that one thing that could happen could send the market up and it could completely invalidate this entire thesis that this correction is going to continue. Now, what could that one thing be that would happen tonight that may actually get me to invalidate my entire thesis? FOMC. There's the FOMC meeting tonight. Maybe Jerome Powell comes out and he becomes extremely dovish and he says, you know what, we've been wrong all this time. We need to start thinking about decreasing interest rates. Full bull comes back, runs thesis invalidated. I cancel my assumption that there's actually going to be a dip and I start buying like a mofo. And for that reason, I'm letting you know, for that reason, I'm letting you know before tonight. I'm not expecting anything. Goldman Sachs is also not expecting anything. They say there's only going to be one line that's going to be changing in the guidance, and we'll be here live. We will be live on Banter Plus later on today. Do me a favor. If you're not already subscribed to Banter Plus, go to Banter Plus right now and subscribe to Banter Plus. Okay? That's the channel. It's called Banter Plus. Go to Banter Plus and subscribe now. Otherwise, and put your notifications on. Otherwise, you don't know when we're actually going to go live. But we are going live tonight, and we are going to be trading the FOMC live. I have my BitGet account loaded. There's $100,000 in this account, and I'm ready to trade. If you don't already have your account loaded, last chance before tonight. So have a BitGet account traded if you want to trade exactly the same way we're trading. Have a Bybit account locked and loaded. If you can't trade on the centralized exchanges, go to Evo. Evo is a decentralized exchange. Anybody can trade in any jurisdiction. Get your wallet signed up to Evo because you'll be able to trade with us on Evo, but we are trading the FOMC tonight. So go and do it right now before the FOMC. Don't arrive at 8 o'clock or whatever time is at your time and then say, oh, we want to participate, but we don't have money in our account, because things could happen fast. Once they publish the results, the FOMC results, things could unravel very, very, very fast. If they said something, if they changed something, be ready. And I'm also ready. I'm ready to change my thesis if that happens. I'm ready to change my thesis. I will change my thesis in a heartbeat if that actually happens. I tell you that much. I'm not one of these. I'm not Kappa. I'm not going to hold on and until eventually I lose all credibility and also lose all my money or miss out on the biggest bull market of our lives. So look, I know there's some difference of opinion, and I want to have a serious discussion about this difference of opinion, because you know what the reality is? That a lot of people that actually have started buying are very good traders. Cole Barrichello is a very good trader. Kyle Chassie is a good trader. Miles is a great guy, good trader. Dennis, good guy, great trader. Why is it that they're willing to buy and I'm not willing to buy? And I think that there's something here around how invested you are. Now, look, this is true. I've been invested, fully deployed. When I say fully deployed, almost 100% of my capital was deployed about 2 or 3 months before this tweet. So this month, this tweet was in November 2024. You can see, I had some dry powder during the bear market. I deployed it really, really slowly, and it felt really tough to do it. I was buying Bitcoin at $18,000, sold at $13, Rune at $1.30. My trades were all public and have been fully deployed now for a few months. So I was fully deployed here. Let's just go back and I'm going to show you the difference. So I was fully deployed around October. So this is where I was fully deployed. At that time, Bitcoin was trading at about $28,000. Let's just quickly, just for reference, just you go to the Solana chart. Solana was at about $20. I was fully deployed by then. I didn't have any more dry powder. So the result is that for me, with the little dry money that I have left, I'm looking for really, really good deals. But that's not the same for you. You may be sitting here and you may be thinking to yourself, you know what, like I missed this whole bull market. I came late. I'm one of the late investors. And even though Rand's waiting for this market to really, really, really come down, I can't take that chance. I don't have the luxury of taking that chance because I'm not that invested like Rand is. And if I miss the next leg up, then I'm really, really, really getting in very, very late. And that could be the difference between why I am so, I'm looking for such good deals and they willing to part with their money with lesser deals, lesser good deals. So what would you do? What I recommend you do if you haven't been that deployed. So this is what Kapoor, one of our analysts, wrote in Front Runners earlier. He said, look, he's actually got a very, very, very smart approach where he says, look, instead of missing this whole thing out, he says, I've got three buckets. He basically has these buckets. And in these buckets, he says, look, my first bucket, which is actually my smallest bucket, I'm starting to deploy now. My next bucket, I'm going to deploy if the price goes down or price goes up. So you're basically DCAing in a very short period of time. So if you're not fully deployed, if you didn't get in early, if you're really scared that you're going to miss if you're really scared that Bitcoin's going to leave the station and leave you behind, that's a good approach. The laddering DCA, quick DCA approach is not a bad approach to do. If you are like majority deployed right now and you're looking for very good deals, then I think you should join my train, which is let's wait for the fear and greed to show us that people are scared. And you know what? If it doesn't come, we'll catch it in the next cycle. Remember, the more tokens go down, the more they go up again. The less they go down, the less they go up again. So that's pretty much how you should play the cycle. If you're not already fully deployed or majority deployed, if you're new, then I would start DCAing. Otherwise, what I would do is not DCA. I would wait until there's extreme fear. Keep your money for amazing, amazing, amazing opportunities. Remember, there's still the most important part of the bull market left. So I want to just show you something because this is, I think, very good perspective. You can see that 80% of the returns in a bull market come in the last 20% of the bull market. So, I mean, if you take this as the whole bull market over here, you see that the majority of the returns actually happen at the end. And we are probably nearing, I'm not going to say the end, but we're entering the late stage of the bull market, which are much more aggressive. So what do we know about this part of the bull market? We know that the majority of the returns are going to be made here and that the majority of the parabolic run is going to be done here. So that means that if you're not fully deployed, you can start deploying, because if you do start deploying, you'll probably land up making money. But it also means we're going to see a lot more opportunities, because the opportunities in this part of the bull market are going to be mind-boggling, mind-blowing, insane, face-melting. You can use whatever adjectives you want to do, you want to use. I'm going to keep it to YouTube-friendly narratives. So That's what you want. That's what you want to be doing. You want to be, if you're not fully deployed, if you have a little bit of cash, you want to keep the cash for the good deals that are going to be coming in this part of the bull market. That's how I would be playing it if I was, and if I wasn't fully deployed. Cool. Let's move on to the next part, because what I did say to you in the beginning of the show is, I said to you, look, I'm not buying yet, but when I buy, I'm only going to be buying a certain number of tokens. I said, I'm only buying those altcoins. You can see those altcoins in the picture. I'm not buying other altcoins because I'm going to be very, very, very smart in this bull market. Now, what you'll agree with me, especially if you've been watching this channel for a long time, is you'll agree with me that this bull market, we have called it, I won't say perfectly because nobody's perfect, but you could say very close to perfect. We bought Solana at $13. It's at $171. We bought Injective very, very, very early in the bull market. I think it was like under $3. It's at $36. We bought Casper very, very, very early. We told you about Casper very, very, very early. We bought many, many, many of these tokens very, very, very early in the bull market. But I also said to you that when you have a correction in a bull market, generally that correction flushes out one kind of behavior and ushers in a new kind of behavior. It ushers out one set of narratives and it ushers in a new set of narratives. Now, I know that a lot of you have a very, 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 very short attention span because you're the same as me. So, and a very, very, very short memory as well. But I want to show you something. I want to show you that in this bull market, we've already had multiple flashouts and multiple narratives. I mean, how many of you remember the Telegram bot narrative, which happened last year around May, June? Do you remember that Telegram bot narrative? We haven't heard of Telegram bot since, right? But that was a huge narrative. Then we got a flashout. When we got the flashout, we got a new narrative. And the new narrative was Rollbit. Remember Rollbit? Rollbit's pretty much, I mean, the token doesn't move anymore. Just look at this. Look at the token of Rollbit now. Let's look at it here. I think it's like under 10 cents. It's a stable coin. I don't even think it's a stable coin. I think it's worse than a stable coin. This is not a stable coin. This is a going down coin, right? This is not a stable coin. It's under 10 cents. So what do we see here? What am I trying to show you here? Every inner bull market, and by the way, these are all bull markets, every flush out flushes out one narrative and brings in another narrative. How many of you remember the China narrative in this bull market? Remember Chinese coins? We haven't heard of Chinese coins since. Remember, how many of you remember GambleFi and Rollbit? Haven't heard of it since. Remember Telegram bots? Haven't heard of them since. Every cycle, every part of the cycle is going to flush out a certain narrative and bring in a new narrative or a set of new narratives. So it's super important that if you understand that thinking, that you're able to action your actions accordingly. Because if you're going to go into the next part of the bull market, but you're still going to be coming in with last bull market narratives, that'll be the equivalent of buying Rollbit. Where did I put that amazing chart of Rollbit? I'm sure it's one of these. Hold on. No, it's here.
The one before.
Where is it? Yeah.
And the one before that.
Yeah, so there we go. So that would be like, if you're going to, in the next cycle, if you're going to, or the next part of the cycle, if you're going to buy the same tokens as you bought last cycle, you could get caught in this Rollbit kind type of situation where you're basically buying the previous cycle's narrative and trying to hold it into the next cycle. And that's a bad, bad, bad mistake. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to look for the narratives that are outperforming the market. And usually in the bounces of the bull market, the market tells you what these narratives are going to be. So the market tells you in the bounces of the bull market exactly what the narratives are actually going to be. You can pretty much see them very clearly when you actually look at Banter Bubbles. So I wrote this tweet last night. I was obviously in a tweet writing mode last night because I was writing a lot of tweets, trying to save myself from aping into degen meme coins. And I said, look, altcoin bull markets usually experience 7+ major corrections, 20+ corrections. Each correction usually ends a froth and a narrative from one cycle and ignites a capital rotation into the other cycles. If this dip becomes a major correction, and it's only if this dip becomes a major correction and doesn't recover very quickly, in other words, we get a real flash out, then we could flash out some of the old narratives and flash in some of the new narratives. What do I mean? And why am I thinking like this? If this dips hard enough and long enough to scare away the Solana meme coin traders, to basically make them swear on their lives that they're never, ever going to touch another meme coin again because that was such a hectic ride, and we don't all go and leverage into all these things again, then we could potentially see the beginning of new narratives that are actually coming up in the cycle. And if we can identify those new narratives early, and then we can look for signs that the market is validating our assumptions, right? So if we can look for, if we get a correction and we know certain narratives are going to end, and then the market says, you know what, let me show you a few signs that these narratives are actually coming to play, then you could time the next, you could preempt and you could time the next part of the up, of the cycle, which means that you will buy them here and you will catch them all the way to here, and then we'll, or here, and then we'll catch the next part of the cycle. And so this behavior carries on ongoing. So then the only thing we need to remember, the only thing we need to decide is, what are the narratives? And then we need to look to see that the market is actually reinforcing our assumptions. So I made a list of narratives, and I want to keep the show reasonably short. I made a list of tokens that I think are going to run. I said Sui, Aptos, Phantom, Telegram, maybe Near. But then I thought about it a little bit more, and I looked at this narratives dashboard, and I analyzed all the data in this narratives dashboard. It's a shit ton of data. You don't need to go through it because I've done it for you guys. And I basically realized that there are, yesterday we spoke about a whole lot of tokens. Yesterday we spoke about, Let's quickly go and get our, here we go. So yesterday we spoke about a whole lot of tokens, and we'll talk about the tokens in a second. But I broke this down into narratives, and I said, what are the narratives that the market is giving me an indication that these could actually be the next narratives in the bull market? And I came down to like five or six narratives. The first narrative is Telegram. The second narrative is Base. The third narrative is Move, Move being the language that Sui and Aptos are written in. The next one is a real world assets narrative, then a decentralized social media narrative, and then a Phantom narrative. So once I saw all these narratives, I started to look for the signs that to tell me whether I was right or whether I was wrong in the selection of my narratives. Okay, so here's what I saw. The first thing is that I said, I found another data point, and I said, look, now that Denkun has happened and the ETH layer 2 fees are much, much, much lower, I think that the next part of the cycle will actually be about getting the billion users onto blockchain that everyone's been talking about. It's going to be all about adoption. Now, in this race, I think there are three real contenders. The first one is Solana, because it's the masses coin and they're all trading meme coins and it's got the network effect. It's been around for more than one cycle. The VCs have invested. There's amazing tooling. There's amazing wallets. There's an amazing infrastructure that's been built around Solana. Solana's got a head start in the race. It's like a horse that is not the best thoroughbred horse, but it's already so far ahead in the race because it started running the race last season. So Solana has a head start. And once Solana has a head start, it's very, very, very difficult to catch it. The next one is Base. And the reason why Base is so strong is because of Coinbase. Because Coinbase have over 100 million customers. Here it is. They have over 100 million people use Coinbase in 2022. It had the largest year of growth, blah, 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 blah. So we know that Base has over 100 million users, and they are really, really, really pushing the base narrative, right? And so when you take that and then you look at the money flows are telling you that money is flowing out of Solana into ETH and into Base. Now, the money that's flowing into ETH may also be flowing into Base because that's another entry point. But what you can see is that there's a lot of money flowing from Solana into Base. You can see there's a whole lot of new users. You can see that Coinbase is really, really, really pushing this. And one other narrative that you can see the behavior of the meme coin on the chain. And the reason why I used the meme coin on the chain is because that shows you where the degens are going. And if you look at Based Brett, which is the meme coin, the biggest meme coin on the chain, you can see that this meme coin is almost at all-time highs. So my thesis here is right, or seems to be right. It seems like there's going to be a massive capital flow out of Solana into Base. But you're all thinking, but hold on, we can't invest in Base. It's impossible to invest in Base. They don't have a token. Damn, we're going to miss this one. No. You can invest. You can buy Coinbase shares. Coinbase shares are a great investment. The other thing that you can do is you can invest in all the Base tokens. So we're going to publish a spreadsheet for you. You guys are going to get it. Aerodrome, Basebred, DGN Base, Moonwell, Toshi, Extra Finance, Moki. We've given you a short description of what they do, and we've given you their fully diluted valuation. And you can also invest in Optimism. The reason why Optimism is such a good play is because Base, because they used the Optimism technology stack, have to pay Optimism a royalty on every transaction, a transaction on every transaction, and they become part of what they call the Superchain Network, which is all the Optimism chains combined. They call it the Superchain Network. So Base is actually a good investment. We'll publish the spreadsheet for you guys. We'll publish the spreadsheet for you guys to show you how you can get access to Base. So that is the one narrative covered. The next narrative, which is very, very good, I said, is Telegram. No one has a user base like Telegram. No one has a user base like Telegram. And look, the market's showing you. Telegram's almost at all-time highs. Telegram knows nothing about this dip. Telegram's not available to talk to anyone about this dip. It's flying. And you need to just look at one metric. Like, seriously, when you're looking at Telegram, there's one metric. Monthly active users on Telegram blockchain, 700,000. Monthly active users on Telegram, the application, 800 million. I mean, it becomes a race to activate these users. Again, you're telling me, but I don't know how to invest in Telegram. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're very smart. You know that there's a spreadsheet that's going to be linked at the end of the show, and it shows you the main DEX. It shows you the meme coin, resistance dog, redog. It shows you basically all, because, you know, CryptoBanter just gives you these spreadsheets with everything on them so that you can understand which ones are the ones to be buying if you want to get exposure to Telegram and the Telegram ecosystem. Cool. Let's look at the next narrative, which I think is going to be running. Move. Move is the Facebook language. It's the language that Facebook were going to use when they wanted to create their own blockchain and their own blockchain wallet. It was the DM project that I think it was called. Then two teams broke away. One of them started Aptos and one of them started Sui. I'm a big fan of both. I'm a bigger fan of Sui, or specifically at the moment, I'm a bigger fan of Sui. And the market's telling me that there is a rotation to Aptos and Sui from Solana. Solana went down, Aptos and Sui went up. There is a rotation happening from Solana into Aptos and Sui. I also know that the trading volume is going crazy. And I also know that in 21 days, they're going to have a massive, massive, massive event in Paris, which is going to be like their first conference, so to speak. And they're going to unveil a whole lot of ideas, or whatever you want to call it. So for me, Sui. That's another one that I would look into the capital rotation. The next one is real world assets. Now, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but last night, BlackRock announced a tokenized asset fund, right? So I'm not going to play this. This is Larry Fink when he said, I'm scared I'll get a copyright strike. It was Larry Fink that said that he's investing, that they're starting that they want to tokenize assets. And then yesterday they deposited $100 million into a real world asset tokenized asset fund. Okay, that's the beginning of a massive, massive, massive movement of real world assets. They're doing it on Ethereum, and I would have thought that Ethereum would have caught a bid based on this, but Ethereum is basically, it caught a bit of a bid. I mean, you can't argue that it did bounce a little bit, but not enough to start an ETH season. So again, another spreadsheet for you guys, another brilliant spreadsheet with all the real world asset protocols will be in the description, and you guys can make your decisions. A few that I want to highlight, obviously Ondo Finance, very good one. Centrifuge is one that we've spoken about a lot. And then one of our sponsors. So we spoke about this sponsor yesterday. This is a Cosmos Layer 1, which is designed specifically for real world assets. Now, if they've just raised amazing, amazing, amazing funding, and these guys are our sponsor. I'm letting you know they're our sponsor. These guys have raised amazing funding, and they are well positioned to capitalize on this on this move. Now, I told you yesterday, and you see it's the token's up 8% again today. I think that if you like the real world asset narrative, and if you believe like I believe that BlackRock is starting a real world asset narrative, then you got to start looking at this list. And as I say, one of the ones on this list is one of our sponsors. But I mean, there's a whole list here of real world assets that we're going to be speaking about in the next couple of days. That's another narrative that's going to be running. Then the last one or two, we'll talk about much more. Phantom, I think there's going to be a Phantom narrative. They're launching this new technology called Sonic, which is a full technology stack. Andre Grenier has been absolutely vocal about it. They're starting to talk about like being, and really, there's no one smarter than Andre when it comes to developing blockchain applications. And that's why I think that Phantom also doesn't give a shit about this dip. So if you look at Phantom, Phantom couldn't give two hoots about this dip. 92 cents. It's as if Phantom doesn't know there's a dip. And then the last one, we'll actually have a full show about this, and it's called Decentralized Social Media. Decentralized Social. We're not going to do it today. And the reason why we're not going to do Decentralized Social today is because it's quite a big section. It's like there's a lot of tokens and it's quite complicated. But I will do a show for you guys on these narratives. I think the important thing about today, the takeaway that I want you guys to have today is the following. Corrections are designed to flash out behaviors and to flash out old cycle narratives and to introduce new cycle narratives. When they do, you need to identify what the potential new cycle narratives are. And so what we've done is we've broken them down into Telegram, Base, Move, Real World Assets, Deso, and potentially Phantom. And now all you've got to do is you've got to look for the signs that the market is validating our thesis. That's it. It's as simple as that. Now all we need to do is we need to wait and see if my thesis is right, that it wasn't time to buy, or whether I'm going to change my mind. And if you want to see whether I'm going to change my mind, as I said, there could be a catalyst later on. It's the FOMC. We will be live on Banter Plus. I will see you guys again live on Banter Plus. If you're not, before you're rushing, Josh, you're rushing. Take your time, bro. Take a deep breath. We're going to be trading. You got somewhere to be, Josh? No, sir. I was just checking. If you want to join us later, we will be live on Banter Plus. We're going to be trading. My BitGet and Bybit accounts are both ready. Speaking of the Bybit account, what was the answer? Do I close the short or not close the short? Close. Close. Okay. Close. All right. So close. Let's limit close the short. It's not a big short. I mean, let's close, confirm, bank the profits. Thank you for... Somebody logged me out of my own account. Okay. I will close the short. So you saw... I will close the short. Also, what did they say about, do we refund the people, pay it back to charity, or give it to one person and make one person's day? Charity one. All right, charity one. So we're going to give it to charity. We're going to give it to charity. Guys, I will see you guys again later. Always be locked and loaded and ready to trade, because you never know when the market's going to give you an opportunity. Have your exchange accounts signed up. Josh, you're rushing. Take the screen down. Josh, you're rushing today. You're rushing me. Okay. Load up your accounts if you Bybit, BitGet, BitFlex, BingX, OKX, and if you live in a territory where they won't let you trade derivatives, go to Evo, because that's where you can trade derivatives. Completely no KYC, completely decentralized. All right. I will see you guys again later. Josh, I will see you guys again later. Until then. Josh, I will see you guys again later. Until then. No, wait, Josh, hold on, whoa. I'm kidding. I'll see you guys later. Until then, trade well, my friends.